entry didn't have to contend with Google or Facebook. I despise Facebook, the instrument of my undoing. So what is a poor boy with only a title, two aging servants who insist on taking care of me, and a crumbling castle to do? We get creative. Just as those English lords who had to leave England and head to America did. We go global. We hope the daughter of some Texas oil baron, Korean mobster, or Russian oligarch is either naive enough to believe we find her timidity charming, or conceited enough to marry us for the accompanying title. The latter is preferred. Everything is clean and there are no illusions. These are the marriages that last an eternity. Two people who have come together for a common purpose. Their own selfishness. The former generally involves a broken heart, children that require therapy, a divorce, and a large enough settlement to tide us over until we find a new partner. This is the bad option. This is what I was born into. This is the road to self-destruction and children who loathe us. This is how the 60-year-old drunks wearing ascots at yacht parties in Cannes are born. I'm really going to try hard to choose from the preferable pool of women. I'm broke. I'm not a monster. So what do I do? I turn to a professional. Someone who makes marriage her business. A matchmaker. There is a woman with offices in Moscow, Paris, London, Tokyo, and New York. She has a small, distinct advertisement for her agency at the back of the better publications. The Economist was where I found her. The tasteful, discreetly written advertisement is straightforward. She is a matchmaker. She runs a dating service. For an exorbitant fee, she will find the perfect partner for the person requesting her services. Those services include extensive and complete background checks. Not even the Mossad runs such thorough background checks as the matchmaker. There are rumors the matchmaker was KGB, that during the height of the Cold War, she was a swallow, a female agent trained to use sex as a tool. Some say she was sent to seduce Ronald Reagan. Only she knows the truth. I contact the matchmaker through her London office. The secretary I speak with puts me through an interrogation that would make any grand inquisitor proud. When I've answered questions not even a psychologist would ask, she tells me she'll get back to me. 2 days later, I receive that long-anticipated return call. I'm invited in for a meeting. The date and time are already set by the matchmaker. I arrive at 11 sharp, as requested. A male secretary brings me into an office where a classically beautiful woman with a crown of blonde braids wrapped around her head waits. She comes round her desk to greet me with a warm handshake and a smile. There really is no telling how old she is. Obviously, she's not in her 20s or 30s, but I cannot tell for certain if she's 44 or 62. It is impossible to tell. As far as I know, she could be 70. She's perfectly preserved in every way. Even beneath her red linen pantsuit, I can tell she has an admirable figure. How to describe the matchmaker? Beautiful. Charming. Shrewd. One look from her and I know she's got me figured out. I like her. I'm invited to sit. There is a file with my name on it, placed prominently on her desk. There is no disguising the fact that someone has taken the time to dig through past issues of tabloids and magazines to clip out and arrange a scrapbook of my indiscretions. She knows exactly who I am. She knows about my former fiancé, the daughter of the self-made Scottish billionaire. She knows about the married Swedish princess. She knows about the unmarried Saudi princess. Her first question: what is it with me and princesses? It's not so much that I like princesses, so much as I appreciate women with a lot of money who take good care of themselves. Fair enough.